I'm a chicken fried.
Somebody wanted me to ask you, if at all, how tariffs have been affecting farming and your particular farming crops of, you know, corn, peanuts, and cotton.
You know, I think that we're used as leverage a lot of times in these negotiating tactics. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a lot of what the tariff deal is, that they're using our products and stuff like that to try to make things better for everybody. But I can tell you, in the farming industry right now, it is literally as hard as it's ever been. The prices we're paying for our inputs are the highest they've ever been. The prices that we're getting paid for our commodities are as low as they've ever been. And it's really a perfect storm for disaster. And, you know, farmers are just hoping that you kind of understand it's something that's needed and necessary for long-term success, but for short-term success, it's about to kill us.
Man, Ryan Jenkins, I talked to him on Friday. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, and that last one really caught my attention. You know, the tariffs are killing us. A lot of businesses are suffering because of them. The farmers are always like on the margin of going out of business all the time, and this year has been pretty rough, and that's what he said. Joining us now, we have our congressman from District 1, Florida. We have Jimmy Petronas on the line. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to, before we get to talking about open carry and Charlie Kirk and all of those things, which I think are very important, I did want to give you a moment to, and the NDAA, which, you know, you were part of passing. I wanted to give you a chance to maybe address Ryan's concerns about tariffs and sort of short-term, long-term, and, you know, farmers, frankly.
I think some of this is where the president's been trying to do somewhat of a true-up of how other countries around the world are basically expect so much from us, yet there's no reciprocation or vice versa. So I'll take India, for example. India, I mean, almost allows no U.S. goods to come into there, but there's so many U.S. dollars that go into India. So this is where the president has been trying to help offset some of the challenges that we've had in our global trade market by trying to enhance U.S. products' acceptance into other global markets. And look, it's generated a lot of revenue for the country, but I know it's all part of a bigger picture negotiation. And there's going to be some challenges that go along with it. But, you know, every time that the president is successful, because this is also creating pain on other sides of the globe, then we get a correction. So I hear him. I know that the farming industry is not easy work. It's very hard work. It's very laborious work. But, you know, food security is also something that we also got to be sensitive to.
And, you know, one of the obviously the Charlie Kirk assassination has been just about the only news story in the last week. And, you know, it has spawned all kinds of implications. A graffiti bridge last night, there was a vigil. They had painted an image of him. Somebody came along and defaced it, which, you know, vandalism is the nature of graffiti bridge, but there's also a question of timing. You know, what's the smart time or the foolish time to use your right to paint on the bridge? We've got the story with the Texas Roadhouse in Milton where the owner's wife, or not owner, but the franchisee's wife said some very vile things. And, you know, the community rose up against the Roadhouse, and they've removed him, apparently, by all accounts. That, you know, the official Facebook page says he's out as you know, the management team. And I've been telling people, look, we got to have tolerance of even vile, horrible things. We've got to use restraint. The left should use restraint. The right should use restraint. We all have to use restraint. But I wanted to give you, I know you're very passionate about all of this stuff too, and you know, you were on the House floor when they went to the moment of silence, and then after that, and the Democrats were protesting having an open, you know, a lead prayer. But, you know, your thoughts, what are you thinking about with these things, Jimmy?
Well, I think with all these, take the Texas Roadhouse situation. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. If you want to be insensitive to the emotions of that time and you happen to be related to a business, then you know what? Daddy always said, you want to get somebody's attention, you get in the pocketbook. So this is exactly what happened, is you have an associate there, spouse was, you know, spouting something off. And then through social media and other ways you're conveying that message, you know, it's obvious that, you know, we don't want to do business there anymore. And there's a retaliation back towards the business and its leadership. So then, you know what? The business has to make a business decision. It's time to move that person on somewhere else or fire them, because it is creating a challenge for anybody else to make a living there. So, you know, I tell people, you know, your words, even though freedom of speech, that's great that we have it, sometimes your words have consequences. So, you know, sometimes the greatest thing that somebody ever told me a long time ago, we had a chef at my family's restaurant, and he told me, he says, Jimmy, he says, before you say something to somebody else that could be hateful or hurtful, say it to yourself first. If it bothers you, it's probably going to bother somebody else. You know, so this is what we're going to deal with as the raw emotions of the loss of Charlie Kirk, the violent loss of Charlie Kirk, are not going to be settled in the near future.
Yeah, no, and I agree with all of that. Then the question is that the appropriate use of my response? Because I agree, if you say dumb things, people will punish you for it. You should use restraint in the saying, and frankly, people should use more restraint in the punishing. I want to see us all become more tolerant of even obnoxious speech. You're right. Is it a bad business practice? Of course. Is it his fault that his wife, who, according to some, actually has some mental issues? We don't know, but that's the, you know, is it appropriate to punish this business because it's a convenient target for the fury you feel about what happened to Charlie Kirk? Well, Charlie Kirk stood for the expression of, you know, obnoxious ideas that people didn't like. And I don't know how we're honoring him by suppressing people and being obnoxious. At the same time, people should not be obnoxious. Well, you know, people should learn to restrain themselves too, right?
Well, and so managing people, any kind of business, if you've run in a business before, managing people can always be a challenge.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, should I have to go and tell my employees, hey, watch what you're saying, okay? But this is no different. When you're a server waiting on the table, that server is going to color within the lines to make sure that there's a good atmosphere at that restaurant. So at the end of the day, there's a satisfactory gratuity after the service is rendered. That server comes in, starts cussing. The customers are saying things irregular. You know, she's going to hurt his own ability to make a living. This is no different. You know, don't be a knucklehead. If you're going to go out there and say something dumb, just know that people may retaliate, and they retaliate different ways based on the emotions that are charged in the issue right now. So, you know, look, do I have sympathy for Roadhouse? No, not really. I mean, it sucks. You know, I mean, there's times that these things just fall apart. And you know what? Roadhouse, just like Cracker Barrel, just like these others, they'll rehabilitate. They'll get out there. They will earn the public's trust again. But we're humans. You know, we're susceptible to go off the rails from time to time.
Congressman, obviously you are well aware that the open carry ruling that the First District Court of Appeals said that at least in Northwest Florida, and based on James Uthmeyer, the Attorney General, declining to appeal this case, it seems to me that it would be the entire state of Florida. We now have open carry. Interesting development, since this has been debated for years and years, and then all of a sudden, you know, well, the Bruin ruling in the Supreme Court requires us to have it. Sort of related to what you were just saying a moment ago, my advice to people as an advocate of open carry, I've lived in Oregon, I've lived in Arizona, it's no big deal, you get used to it, is I said, okay, you're allowed, but maybe be cautious, be wise, because you might get tackled, you might get the cops called, you might, you know, you might get shot for open carrying. Just be aware that people are dumb, right?
Right. Well, and look, I appreciate how proactive all of our sheriffs have been around the state, putting out either a post on social media, press releases, you name it. Because, I mean, they know that they're going to get an uptick in phone calls about people carrying a gun into Walmart on their hip.
Yep.
So, again, I think it's smart. You know, if you have not visited, you know, your local social media page for your sheriff, you should. There'll be a statement out there kind of giving you some parameters of what to look for and what the law actually means. And you know what? Just know that it's a new day in Florida.
Yeah.
And you might see somebody carrying a gun, and you don't need to be startled. But if you're going to be carrying a gun, please just understand what the limits of the law are.
And if somebody asks you to leave their store, that's their right, too. You know, I mean, that's just, this is all a part of it. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for us. And, you know, sometimes that takes, a little bit of time. I did want to ask you.
You're going to have signs. You know, you have signs in front of storefronts. They're going to say, you know what, no open carries allowed. And this is, you know, and the beauty of it, you know, then just conceal carry. Put it in your pocket.
Right, right. And especially since that's, permitless these days. Anybody can do that as well. And I think there's going to be an adjustment period where people are going to, you know, maybe – oh, this business is not allowing me to open carry. I'm not going to go there. I assume there's going to be, you know, boycott threats and all of that kind of stuff too. And you know, it'll all settle out in the end. Last thing I wanted to ask you about.
And the upside,
go ahead.
If you do get your permit still, the good thing about it is you can still go get your concealed permit. That will get you reciprocity in other states.
Yep.
So it's still getting the permit is kind of a little bit of a safety catch because if you do like to travel. State of Florida has a lot of reciprocity in other states.
And you can buy without a background check because you've already had it done, basically.
That's, 100%.
Yeah, that's a very efficient thing. Last thing I wanted to ask you about is the NDAA. Passed, and now what? But what's in there that you want people in Pensacola to know about?
Yeah, so $900 billion in this particular package to support our military infrastructure growth. But we also cleaned up. There was a lot of woke language that went in through the Biden administration. Well, these things were passing because we had a Democrat in the White House, or at least a Democratic auto pen. the one provision that I put, and I think it was a pretty spirited debate on the floor we had, but we had a provision in federal law saying that all non-tactical vehicles had to be an EV or hybrid. And I thought that was ridiculous. I've seen firsthand, especially along our installations along coastal areas, if you have any type of saltwater flooding and you've got EVs as the backbone of your transportation for services provided on that installation, these things then turn into time bombs. And you just can't afford to have that type of irregularity and unpredictability when it comes time to servicing our nation's finest. So we struck that out. That language is gone out of the bill. And we're saying, you know what, you don't have to buy those by the letter of the law anymore. We hope people just buy a nice gas engine when it comes to working and taking care of our servicemen.
One of the things I continue to see across news services is movement by the Department of Defense or the Department of War towards autonomous, not so much autonomous systems, but remotely operated system, drone systems, whether it's in the air, whether it's, ships under the water. We're talking now about using drones to deliver anti-tank weapons for the Army, just across the board application of this sort of unmanned systems approach. Of course, here in, Pensacola and Milton, we think a lot about manned systems because this is where we begin the pilot training and a lot of the developmental training for pilots and many, 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 many other things, wrench turners and all of that. What do you see for the future here? Do you see a world in which we continue to have manned systems, ships and airplanes, and also autonomous and or remote operated? Or, what's your picture of where this is all going?
Yeah, you're going to have all the above. If you can just simply look at what's happened over in the Russia-Ukraine war, how drones, and we saw some of it very visibly, how drones went in as almost suicide bombers and took out that fleet of bombers there in Russia. So you're going to see more and more of a drone threat that's going to exist. This is where we have seen innovation develop out of Eglin of how, you can't go – we're in an environment where a $5,000 drone could be getting shot down by a $250,000 missile. That economy is not going to work. So where the Air Force is pivoting and trying to be more proactive in what they're going to do to take out these drone threats, but also do it where we are doing it in a common sense way, because these things, unfortunately, they're fantastic technology. I do get worried about how far they're going to go because I feel like the sky's the limit. But
yeah, same.
But here's a crazy thing: DJI drones, the Chinese-owned drone manufacturer, they used to put a restriction on theirs that said, "Okay, you're going in a restricted zone. We're not going to go any further." They turned all that stuff off. So, these guys are not our friends. They create fantastic technology, but I think they feel like their days are numbered in the United States, and they probably are. They probably should be, because we are literally allowing these guys to have open surveillance over the United States. And, you know, we've got a technology that's not our friend.
Yeah, our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1, Jimmy Patronis, as always. Jimmy, thank you so much for the time this morning. I know you're in a busy schedule, especially, you know, being out of state right now and traveling to another out of state. So I always appreciate you taking some time for us on Monday morning, talking to your constituents and, you know, answering my questions. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Always enjoy it. Take care.